Thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Lord Jesus, we're just asking right now that you would just continually move upon this word, upon this time together, and that what is going to be shared this morning would go deep within us, that we would walk out of here knowing that you've touched our heart, that your word has brought revelation to us, and that change is in our midst, because we want to know you in a greater way. We want to walk in your ways in a greater way. We want to know your love, Lord. So help us today. Help us not to be stuck in any patterns of the past. But Lord, let us break free from those things that have tried to mold us away from being a man or a woman of your love. So God, have your way today. Holy Spirit, you know I cannot do anything without you that's of any worth. And so Holy Spirit, will you ignite the hearts of the folks here today? Use me as a vessel to challenge all of us to go deeper in your love. We all pray this in the precious and the holy and the loving name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, if you look at your notes that I have for you today, it's called Alive in the Love of God. And I started speaking a little bit of this on Tuesday night. And I wanted to continue the message and really kind of drive it home, not only to myself, but to all of you. Because the love of God isn't something that we can ever exhaust. Oh, another message on the love of God. You know, you can say that, but the love of God is what gives us our identity in Christ. If we don't have the love of God functioning in ourselves, we will not function in the identity that He's called us to walk in. And so we've got to have God's love having its way. Never too old, never too young to have more of God's love. And so I've given you some scriptures here that are scriptures that you can meditate on and look at. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19, we're going to go through that. Romans 5, 3 through 5, and Philippians 1, 9 through 11. The introduction says this. It says, when deeply impacted by the experience of God's love, it transforms what matters to us. And so we can just kind of stop right there and say, okay, every day, if we're impacted by the love of God on a regular basis, it's going to impact your day. It's going to change what matters to you and where you're getting your identity or what your calling is. And so the love of God has to impact us each and every day, and then we can understand what really matters to God and what really matters to us. Because we don't want to be a people away from His love. You're not going to get away from His love. His love will pursue you. Today, God's love is pursuing you. I guarantee it. That He's trying to take you deeper in understanding why the Holy Spirit is living inside of you to reveal the love of God to you. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. God wants us to pray for the supernatural. And He wants the supernatural in our lives. But if it's not motivated by love, if love isn't at the center of it, we can do harm to what God desires to do. And so I want to nail it today as far as God's love. Here's the thing too, that many things we can do as Christians, and you have to ask yourself this question. This isn't to make anyone feel bad, but you have to ask yourself this question. What I am doing, can non-Christians do it? Could non-Christians do what I'm doing? Or is my life functioning in the supernatural that non-Christians wouldn't be able to do it because I'm walking in the Spirit of God and living in the Spirit of God and allowing the Spirit of God to have its way, and God's love is manifesting in my life each and every day in every situation? That's how you have to think. That's God's word. And so he wants you to die daily to yourself and come alive to the love of God, to be challenged by it. And I really want to encourage everyone in this room that sometimes we have to rappel from the surface and dive deep into some of our past and see those patterns so that God can affect those patterns and they can no longer have their way in our lives. Yes, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. But there are old ways. You see, the family that you either growing up in now or that you grew up in, that family atmosphere has had probably more impact in your life than anything else in your life. There's other things, college, individuals. But how you grew up and how you learned how to respond to situations, how you learned to solve problems, is probably a lot from the way that you grew up and how you saw problems being solved in front of you. But when the love of God breaks in, he begins to do away with those old patterns. And you begin to respond to each other, husband and wife, brother and sister, from the love of God and how God views it and how God views you. And when that love begins to manifest itself, freedom begins to break out in your life. And how you respond to things each and every day have everything to do of how you're letting God love you, how you're letting God say who you are and not somebody else. Don't let anybody tell you who you are beside God telling you who you are. Let his love shape you. But there's a way of going about it, and we're going to touch on that today. There's this scripture we need to understand is so alive and so ready to help us. So, when deeply impacted by the experiences of God's love, it transforms what matters to us. We feel no need to seek our greatness in being successful in man's eyes. Love of God manifests in you, you don't have any seeking to be great in man's eyes anymore, because you're validated from the love of God, and nothing that man could do could validate you any more than the validation of the love of God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We find success, identity, and satisfaction in the great ocean of God's love and the things that God calls great, and we're willing to go there. So what are the things that God calls great? God calls humility great. God calls meekness great. And meekness is not being someone to be walked upon. Meekness is the power and the authority of the love of God under control in your life. And so when somebody comes against you to yank your chain and try to say negative things about you, it has no bearing in your life because you're rooted and grounded in the love of God. And you know who you are. This is, if we're going to be a healthy people, if we're going to be healthy, and you know, young people, some of you don't have families yet. You know, your parents do the best they can. Some of you didn't have parents. But God is your father, and he will father you and help you. And God wants you to understand the family of God, because God wants to bring fathers to the family of God to help father some of you, and mothers to help mother some of you. God puts a major priority on family. But listen, Jesus, they came to him. He was with a bunch of folks, and they came, and outside the door, they said, "Hey, your brothers and your mom's out here." And what did he say? He said, "No, I'm with my sisters and my brothers and my mom." You go, wow, what does that mean? What does that mean? Why did he say that? Wasn't that cold? I wonder if Mary heard it. Why did he say it? This is why. Because God puts such a high priority on family. The family of God. Even though my wife, Deanna, is my wife, she's my sister in Christ, according to the word. Every one of you in this room, if you have Jesus in your heart, then you are a brother and a sister to one another. You are part of the family. And we take very low priority sometimes in that because of the lack of love. This is our family. We're supposed to go through everything together and to be there for each other. But God wants to kind of challenge, how are we loving? Are we loving well? If there's any phrase I want you to get this morning, am I loving well with my children? Am I loving well with my friends, with people that I meet? And how am I loving? Do I give a lot of attention to the man or the woman that's going to help me succeed in my mission or vision? And do I show them a lot of love? And because they give money more than someone else to the ministry or to whatever I'm doing, do I hug them a little closer and pay much more attention to them? Or can I, the person that I have nothing in common with, come up to me, and can the love of God manifest through me to that person? Can it really? And when was the last time it happened in my life? When did I notice that it was the love of God? Do you know that the love of God is huge in the place of listening? That you listen to someone and you hear their heart? Think about you. Again, this is to challenge us. And God's willing to take us wherever we want to. Think about you. When the last time somebody shared something that they were hurting or what they were going through, did you really listen with the intention to hear what they were saying? Or did you already have a modified answer to say back to them? The truth about many people in bad places is because they've never had the validation of love or the validation of a parent. And they've listened, as we heard prophesied, to the enemy's lies, saying that you're never going to be anything. And then when we begin to have a little success sometimes in life, we can begin to compromise that success. And because that success is in our life a little bit, we think everything's okay and, man, we're doing God's will. I read a story yesterday about Henry Nouwen. And in the story, it talked about him, how he was a speaker and he wrote a book every year. Every year he wrote a book. And he would speak at Harvard, and he would speak at Notre Dame, and I think even Deanna heard him speak one time. He was a passionate guy, Henry Nouwen. And in reading this article on him, it said that it wasn't until the end of his life, the last 10 years, that he said he began to relate and understand the love and the intimacy of God in his life. After all those great books, after all those speaking engagements, and he realized he was getting so much from those speaking engagements. And he found out that being with Christ and knowing Christ and loving Christ and being loved by Christ was the answer to his quest and his goal. And he had spent his days, I think it's in Oregon or Washington, in a mental hospital working with mentally challenged children. And being before the Lord. He is finding his validation and the love of God in that. Not in the pulpit. Not in these great books that are written. It's the inside, upside down kingdom. But you got to be serious with this. You can't think that you've arrived. I hope that nobody in this room thinks that they've arrived at the fullness of the love of God. But I hope that this morning you're challenged to position your heart and your life so that God can begin to display his affections upon you and who you are. I'm going to go to the end of my notes. On a Friday in the prayer room, we had a team. And we were singing. I got to find this statement. See if I can find where it's at. Oh, it's in C on the second page, right at the bottom. It says, Friday's chorus in the house of prayer was, I am who you say that I am, a diamond forged by fire. I am who you say that I am, a diamond forged by... We were singing this. This chorus happened in the house of prayer, and we were just singing this. And it was such a powerful presence of God, because This is the key, that you are who He says that you are. And you're forged as to become a diamond through trials, through the fiery love of God. You're forged and made into the image of God. I am who He says that I am. Can you say that with me? I am who He says that I am. Again, I am who He says that I am. Go back to the beginning, the notes there. So we grow in boldness when the love of God begins to apprehend us. We begin to dare to do things. We risk things. We don't get comfortable. But we'll do almost anything because God's love is manifesting through our lives. When God's love manifests in our life, it awakens us to the deep places of our heart. Nothing is going to awaken the deep places of your heart that needs a touch more than the love of God. When He has your attention, when you are broken and willing, brokenness and vulnerability, there's so much rated about being in this high thing, and we did this for God, and we did this for God, and we did this for God. But when you talk about brokenness and humility and vulnerability, there's not much said or not many people talking about it. But it is the way to knowing God. There's the threat, if great things happen in your life or in ministry, there's the threat that you may take ownership of it. But if you're broken and humble and you're in the love of God, you know who gets the credit. You know. Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit. Number two, let's lock in on the word here. This is a familiar passage, but let's just hit it and lock in on it real quick. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19, we're going to focus on 19. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit. Now see that line. His Spirit. It comes through His Spirit in the inner man, your inner man. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints. All the saints. You've got this in common. Your brothers, your sisters, your family of God. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the love of God? Here's verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, that you, knowing the love of God through the Holy Spirit in your inner man, it surpasses all the knowledge you can gain. And guess what it does? It fills you up with the fullness of God. That you can be filled with God because of the love of God. It surpasses all the knowledge you could gain. The love of God. God wants us to experience that. A, it passes knowledge. In other words, it requires His supernatural help to experience Him. In Romans 5:5, you'll see that even more clearly. That it's this Holy Spirit in you that allows you to experience the love of God. So you've got to cultivate relationship and opportunity for the Holy Spirit in you to have its way. Some of you may go, it's been so long, or I don't even know how. We begin to ask God. This is a supernatural walk. This is a supernatural life. And we say it all the time, and we shout all the time when we say, the same Spirit that lives in you is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. We say, yes! What is it doing? How is it having its way in you? It's living there. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. And so more often than not, we need to let God, through the Holy Spirit, access our emotions, our feelings, and everything that's going on to lead us and to guide us in every area of our life. If you are in the same thing that you were in a year, 2 years, 10 years ago, you're in that place because you haven't accessed the Holy Spirit to move you out of that place. And He wants to. He desires to. He wants to. Go to B. It's just a little kind of a joke here, but pray for the supernatural, that God would lead you into ways of living that can only be accomplished by the power of the Spirit. Think about it. Think about this. Let's just say you bought a race car and you got a race car and you use this race car to go 35 miles an hour every day to the market or to the grocery store. Every day. That's all you do. You've got a race car and you're driving it to the market at 35 miles an hour every day. Was that race car designed and created to go 35 miles an hour every day to the market? Was that its purpose? What do you think the guy that made the race car thinks about that gal that's driving it 35 miles an hour to the... What do you think he thinks? Oh, what are you doing to my car? Well, listen, every one of you in this room, I'm going to call you a race car. You guys were all created to go at levels and speeds far above than where you're at. Through the power of the Holy Spirit within you, that's who you're created to be. People are so afraid to talk about Jesus. Sometimes people can talk in the pulpit real strong about Jesus, and then when they get out on a TV program or something, they can't say a word. You got to be able to stand for Him. You got to be able to run with the power and the authority that He has in you. The Holy Spirit's living in you. You're a race car. What'd you learn at church? I learned to be a race car. What's that mean? There you got him. You got him. Tell him. So we don't want to waste who's living inside of us. That's why I said that a lot of non-Christians can do a lot of what Christians are doing. Now Romans 5:5. We'll start with verse 3 and go through that. We must be equipped by the Holy Spirit to pour out God's love upon our hearts. Scripture really nails this in this verse. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. Look at this. Hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts, our inner man, our spirit man, through what? Through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So you say, well, how do I experience the love of God? Through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And then when that's happening, you don't live in disappointment. You live in hope. You live in love. Okay, next page. The Holy Spirit lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us, so He is always with us. But we want the presence of God to actually be manifest upon our heart. We want more than to just know that He's in us. We want to be able to sense, this is what I was making a point, we want to be able to sense and feel His presence within us. The Holy Spirit desires to release His power upon our mind, and on our will, and on our emotions, our inner man. The result of this strengthening is that we are able to perceive or feel the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, empowering our spirits to receive love and love Jesus in return. B. God's full destiny for our life can only be released in those who receive strength from God, Ephesians 3:16, to sustain their decisions to obey Him. There's a holy diligence that is not legalistic or religious, but you're continually seeking God every day, a diligence, so that God can begin to reveal His heart to you. To sustain their decisions, obey Him. Being rooted and grounded in God's love prepares us to experience more of Jesus' presence in our hearts. The more we grow in the experience of His love, the more confidence we have. With His help, in loving Him well and beginning to love other people well. Am I loving well? That's a question I'm asking myself. Some areas I'm okay, some areas not good. Am I loving well, God? I can't do this on my own. See, we go hard after God's heart to experience His affections. Holy diligence, I just said. But it positions us in holy diligence to accept and to receive more. Christianity is an invitation to a relationship with God who touches our inner man, our heart, with supernatural strength through the power of the Holy Spirit. Many in the church talk about the love of God, but do not press in to actually experience the power of His love. Number four, right here at the end. Well, I got to finish that D. That was a good one. I had a man tell me one time when I was working in a job, he knew I was running from God. And he said to me, "Your arm is too short to box with God, and your legs are too short to outrun God. There's no way out, Bob. Will you just give up?" I'm saying it today because I remember it like it was yesterday. Your arms are too... And I was boxing with God. I was trying to get away from God. And he said, "There's no way. Why don't you just surrender and give up? I mean, send up the white flag." I remember him saying that. It was like, in time. And what he said bothered me every day. Because I knew God was pursuing me. This is the thing about His love, guys. His love is not going to stop pursuing you. It's not. You can try to build up anything in your life. You can try to fake your way through it. But it's not going to happen. It's got to be motivated, rooted, grounded, fueled by the love of God. How can you love some of the people that are mean to you? How can you love some of the people that have hurt you? How can you love them? You can't love them without the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit moving through you and releasing you into a place of freedom. And when you're there, everything's different. Everything is different every day because of God's love and His ways. The calling of every believer, every one of you. You say, "What's the calling of God on my life?" Every one of you. The calling is for you to love Jesus with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And your neighbor is yourself. It's one of the deep and most profound ways to worship God from the core of our being is to encounter the truth about how He loves us. And when you encounter that, "Oh, I'm good. I can go. I can run." Our response in love is connected to our revelation of love. Love abounds in our hearts when what God reveals to us about Jesus abounds in our lives. We love Him because He first loved us. God's revealing this to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, awakening us, changing our desires, our emotions, our affections. The more we grow in the knowledge of who Jesus is and how He loves us, the more we grow in real love and affection for Him. Our identity needs to be from the love of God, not from the wounds or the opinions of man. Friday's chorus again in the house of prayer. "I am who you say that I am, a diamond forged by fire." And the last thing I have on that page is this. The love of Christ must come before everything else. Before everything, guys. So you need to make a decision today. Are you going to put the love of Christ before everything else? Can you stop for a moment on this Sabbath day we call and rest? Can you stop and delight? Can you stop and contemplate this statement? The love of Christ must come before everything else. In your marriage, can you get real about your marriage? Can you get real about your relationships? Can you get real about your brother and sister in Christ and put them where God wants you to put them? In the place of love and care. Can you listen when somebody's really talking to you? Are you so consumed with your own self that you haven't even heard His voice lately? And you wouldn't even recognize it? These are hard questions, but there's beautiful answers in store. If you'll say yes, if you'll go hard after God, slow down. Learn to lead from integrity and the love of God. Listen, if we're not emotionally mature, then we will not be spiritually mature. God wants to do everything He can to heal us, bring truth to us and for us to drop our agendas and our ways and really lay it all down. That's what he wants. Listen to this. After a conference that's been given to many pastors and leaders, women, men of God, and it's from a book that I've been reading called The Emotional Healthy Church. And at the end, they take a survey of all the pastors and leaders and everybody that's there. And they say, after the seminar, they say, will you finish this question on our little survey? And it says, I'm beginning to realize blank. This is what many of those leaders, after they were confronted with the need for healing and brokenness. I'm beginning to realize if truth is not in my life, it should not be in my sermons. I'm beginning to realize that I have neglected my inner life with God. I'm beginning to realize I have given away my walk with Jesus to manage my congregation. I have impoverished my marriage in the process. I'm beginning to realize I need to place a higher priority on time with God and trust Him with the rest. I'm beginning to realize I'm spiritually dry, running on empty. I need to slow down. I'm beginning to realize I take things too personally when it is not my personal responsibility. I'm beginning to realize the world will go on without me, but I cannot go on without Jesus. Why don't you stand? Holy Spirit, move on us. Stir up in us that we want to learn how to love well in you, Lord. Lord, there are men and women here right now, young and old, that their destinies have been sidetracked because of wounds and hurts and pains and people. I ask today, Lord, that your love would flow down on every man and woman in this place, and that they would begin to see how you love them and how you see them. That we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us in the place of godly love. That we learn how to love you well. I just want us to pray right now. And if you do feel a need to come forward and just be prayed for, that today is a day that you want to lay things down in your life and you want God to begin to bring healing and that the love of God would manifest more and more in your life today. You can do it right where you're standing, but there's something about just saying yes and Lord, I make a witness to you and to my brothers and sisters. I want to walk more in your love. Lord, I ask today that you would heal marriages in this ministry and in this region that have fallen away from loving you and loving each other. We ask for healing on marriages today. The Holy Spirit to reveal more of God's love in your inner man. I just want you to come forward right now. I'm just going to sing over you and I'm going to pray a prayer of faith. Yes, God. Oh, God, let all the pretending fall by the wayside. Let all the patterns that are not of you be crucified. Come, Lord. all are temples of the Holy Spirit. Temples of the Holy Spirit. Help us to guard these temples with your love, O God. Yes, God, come, Lord. Come, Lord. They're going to sing this chorus over you as you guys are up here. It takes a lot of boldness and courage, and I tell you, to say yes to God is huge. We surrender everything, Lord. And every day, reveal more of your heart and your love to us. Just sing over them.
I surrender,
sing that with them,
'cause I want to know you more. I want to
down.
I want to know
Holy Spirit.
I surrender.
Heal us.
I surrender. 'Cause I want to know
your love.
I want to know you more. I surrender.
I surrender, Lord. I'm laying it down.
I surrender.
My arms are too short to box with you anymore.
I want to know you more. I want to know you.
Hem me in by your love, Lord.
I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you.
Yes, Lord.
I want to know.
The pastors up here to minister to those who have come. I want to pray over you and dismiss you as we just stay in this place of prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask that this word would run deep within us, that this message would permeate our thought patterns, that every day we would ask the question, are we learning to love well? Are we allowing your love to heal us? So God, today, shift everything in us that doesn't love well into the place of learning how, desiring to. Pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Just one time again, you can be dismissed. God bless you. Go in peace. You can see us here Tuesday night at 7. If you want to know more about us, you can find it on the web. But I just want the pastors who's ever out there, come forward and pray over these. I want to pray over them too. The Holy Spirit to have its way. In Jesus' name. Go in peace.
Yes, Lord. We surrender. We want.